Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Neutral Game, your resident fighting game podcast. I am Six of Scanline Media, and I'm joined as ever by Miandrug.
Hello, I'm Miandrug of Real Soviet Bear Inc. I don't even know what my channel's called.
We could do it right here, right now. Give it a name, official name.
I mean, it's my name, but it's not like an official incorporated corporation name, so let's just call it Bear Media for now.
Okay, and we don't have time to file the paperwork right now. That makes sense. Okay. What are we talking about this week, Mio?
Well, this week we're talking about how I started teaching, or rather, people in my office picked up Guilty Gear, and we started playing it during lunch breaks, as in my regular offline fighting game group picked up Guilty Gear all of a sudden, and how that process went for people who don't usually play anime fighters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so these are people that you've been playing other like fighting games, but this is so they're not new to fighting games in general, but it's anime ones that they're new to.
Yeah, so I think the group started playing. There was attempted playing Street Fighter V. Mm-hmm. But only one person really enjoyed it, so that ended up being dropped off. And then we played Tekken 7 when it released for like quite a long time until people got tired of it, due to reasons that we talked about on our Tekken 7 episode, actually.
Yeah.
And then Dragon Ball FighterZ released, and everybody, to my surprise, was all, oh yeah, we're getting Dragon Ball FighterZ, everybody wants to play it because it looked really stylish.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I don't think any of the people involved actually have seen Dragon Ball. So that was kind of weird. We played that for a month? No, actually we played that for 2.5 weeks. Or something like that. And then somebody said, oh yeah, playing this made me want to check out Guilty Gear because it's made by the same team. And they bought Guilty Gear on Steam, and then somebody else bought as a response Guilty Gear as well, and then a third person bought Guilty Gear, and all of a sudden we were all playing Guilty Gear.
So what made it, instead of just like, hey, I like this game, you know, Dragon Ball FighterZ, and I'm curious what else they've made, what made it, instead of just being that, full-on transition to Guilty Gear? Like, was Dragon Ball, like, okay, but not going over that well? Or was there something about Guilty Gear that really captured people's imagination?
I think people ended up being overwhelmed by Dragon Ball.
Mm.
Because even though it was kind of simple to play in terms of input, it had a lot of stuff you had to think about at any given time.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, so it was, like, pretty overwhelming in that regard. And also, I think actually the person who was, well, not doing the worst, but the person who was struggling the most with Dragon Ball was the one who switched to Guilty Gear, and that kind of cascaded.
I see.
And two of us were already playing Guilty Gear, so, you know, we were fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to have gone better because I guess it's just like one-on-one is much easier to learn, even though individual Guilty Gear characters are far more complex than any character in Dragon Ball.
I mean, as a player myself who's played, like, I've been playing off and on those sorts of games since Marvel vs. Capcom 2, right? Those sort of, like, those team. Yeah. And, like, ideas like using assists appropriately in combat, like, I still am not very good at that. It's still just an extra element that's hard to keep in my brain. It's harder to handle, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not really good at assist-based games either. I think the only time I'm good with an assist is if it's like a very non-combo-y assist. So, like, thinking off the top of my head, something like maybe Golden Fantasia, the Umineko fighting game, like, where it's not like you get an assist to combo into an assist to combo into an assist. It's more like you just tag in or out, like in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of, like, assists I can handle. But as soon as, like, I have to factor in someone I'm pushing in to maintain the flow, and when my opponent is doing that and I have to protect myself against that, that's just way too many variables for me to handle.
Sure. There are characters, though, in Guilty Gear that I feel like are as chaotic and complicated in what's going on as Dragon Ball Fighters. So like, you know, like I'd add, Jacko maybe to that list with all the shit she's got going on with like the bases and leveling up and her soldiers and stuff. So like, did people skew away from those kinds of characters with their picks?
So how the picks went is, so me and another person were the only one with Guilty Gear experience, and I went with Venom and Potemkin, which is my standard theme. He went with, his main pick is Leo, but because Leo is very difficult to play against, he started learning a new character, so he switched to Zalo. And then the two other people were playing Johnny and Raven. So it was... It's a pretty difficult set of characters to play against, because even though it seems like you're just fighting one person, so it's easier to manage than in Dragon Ball, they require very specific playstyles. So, like, fighting against Zato, for example, is very difficult because of all the setups he has with summoning his secondary character, because it's basically a puppet character.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets difficult because you have to find where the gaps are, and you have to, like, keep watching this... puppet secondary character, which is always underground. Then with Leo, it's like cross-ups everywhere, so you have to just not get brute forced by that, so that's something to take and keep in mind. And then I think the only character that wasn't like gimmicky or too difficult to play against was Johnny, but because Johnny is such a technical character, said person who was learning the character didn't utilize him fully, so it ended up, I think, being more complex than Dragon Ball in a lot of ways, but it's more complex in a different way.
I see. So
it's more like this character is a puzzle. How do I figure out how to fight against this specific character rather than doing a ton of guessing games?
So I'm not the biggest Guilty Gear fan, but you know, I have friends who are, and I hear stuff about it, and it's interesting to me that one of the characters is Raven. Because I feel like the most common thing I hear when people are unhappy with Guilty Gear is how much they dislike playing against Raven. And first off, I guess I wonder if you share that opinion, and then if you do, like, how you've seen that reflected in the skill curve of a new player.
I despise fighting against that character. It's one of the worst characters to fight against in the game, I'd say. Simply because it's a character that has... Like, the good... It's a character that has a lot of very good options, but... how can I say this? Okay, for example, when I'm playing against Venom... Well, with Venom against Raven, my job with Venom is to get in, and I have to press my good buttons against Raven to get in. But because Raven is so aggressive in this, like, button-versus-button warfare, like, Raven's options will always be better than mine. So, like, he has, you know... command grabs that go on the ground and go as an anti-air, which is kind of like, oh, he has the thing that Potemkin has. Then he has a teleport dash, which works like Slayer's, except after he does the first teleport, it turns into a regular dash, so it's better than Slayer's.
Hmm.
Then he has like projectiles that are really fast and really tiny, and that slow you when they hit you, so it's like a really good projectile option as well. And then he has like other projectiles which just block... a part of the field, because it's like this kind of orb that floats and maintains its position for a while, so it literally denies where you are. And then he has an air dash that does damage, like just an air dash.
So it sounds like there's basically no situation in which you have the advantage.
No, there isn't. So I actually got really upset playing against him because, you know, like I'm not playing with my main character. My old main character in Guilty Gear is Robokai, who still isn't in the game. So like Venom and Potemkin are my substitutes. But I still got upset because, you know, I've been playing this game for years, and then this person who, admittedly, they've played like a lot of fighting games as well. They just haven't played like this type of fighting game. But they, you know, they got a lot of work with Raven. Like, they got a lot of, like, results with Raven. So, I can't really do anything with Venom, because all his responses are better, but then when I switched to Potemkin, who is more of a counterplay character, as in, hey, Potemkin has, like, very hard counters to very different things, so then it boils down to being, you know, good reads, then I have a, like, brutally easy time.
Hmm.
Which is funny, because the person who plays Leo and Zalo, Like, if he plays Leo, who is also a very, like, brute force character, the match is super easy in that person's favor. But when they switch to, you know, other characters, it's just an uphill battle.
Yeah, that sounds really frustrating.
Yeah, it's kind of like Raven is this... I won't say he's a simple character. He's just a character with a lot of good options that just break, I think, complex characters. And then if you have, like, a super, super straightforward character, like, you know, Leo or Potemkin or something like that, then you can just kind of brute force against Raven.
I see.
But it's not an enjoyable thing. I think, like everybody... It's kind of like I don't want, like, anybody to switch their characters, and in the end I'm always like, okay, well, I'll just learn to play against this very difficult character, but it's still, like, killing a lot of, like, my enjoyment. Mm. So, yeah, he is really bad. I really hope they, like, tone him down.
I mean, was he added with Rev 2, or...?
Yes, he was added with Rev 2.
Okay, so
he's
there's...
not no, he was added with the Rev, not Rev 2, sorry. Rev 2 was by Ken and Answer.
So he's been around for long enough that it seems like maybe they're not going to change that.
Well, they're not going to... Like, he had a patch where they, like, changed things up for him, but he's still, like, you know, pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what the design philosophy of Team Red is, like the Arc System dev team that did this, because years ago, I think, they were quoted as saying that they're fine with certain characters being more powerful than others because they believe some people find enjoyment in, you know, playing low-tier characters and getting results, plus, you know, matchup experience balances it all out.
Sure.
So I don't really know what they'll do with, like, Raven. Mm. Probably nothing major until Evo.
That makes sense. Okay. So you talked a little bit about the different, like, experience and backgrounds that people have had going into this. Like, the Raven player has a fair bit of general fighting game experience going into this. So, like, what is, like... What are the different backgrounds that people have, and how have you seen that sort of reflected in their play, do you think?
The person who plays Zato and Leo, he basically plays the same way, fighting games the same way I do. He just, you know, plays whichever fighting game. So he's more, like, Marvel-oriented than I am, so he's had more experience with Marvel games, but he's pretty much played as many things as I have. So for him, I think it's like, I guess it's like, it's very difficult to describe, like, his play style. I think it's mostly like he looks up what the best options and setups for certain characters are, but he doesn't find it problematic to adapt and figure out some of his own things.
I mean, like, as a person, you know, from the outside, hearing a person who plays, Zato 1 and Leo, my assumption is, oh, this is a person who's interested in oppressive pressure.
Yes, yes. But also, he like, in all fighting games we've played, he frequently swaps out characters. So, like, he'll play a character for, you know, a week or two, and then be like, oh, I'm, like, either bored of this character or I want something new. So they dabble in a bit of everything. I think they're, like, a fairly open-minded player. And that kind of reflects in, you know, them adapting to... losing, like, when they lose enough to a certain thing, they will adapt to it. Then as far as the Johnny player, who's now switching to back to Answer, they don't play, like, fighting games. I think, like, they tried playing Street Fighter because they were roped into it and they thought it was really boring. And then they played Tekken quite a while and got really into it. But otherwise, they're a Dota player. So it's kind of like I think they enjoy fighting games. I think they also just get really frustrated with them. But the how that kind of, like, reflects in their style is they figure out they take a while to, like, figure out all the tools they have, I'd say. Like, it takes them a while to have everything in the rotation that their character can do. But the basic things, like normals and stuff like that, spacing, they're pretty good with that. So, like the fundamentals of a character, I think they understand. It's more just, you know, putting in all the options there.
Yeah, not so much with the Mistfinder setups yet.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Raven player is, they, I think they play a lot of stuff. They just didn't play hardcore anime super fast fighting games. So they played Street Fighter. I think they played Soul Calibur back in the day. They played Tekken. You know, they played like, you know, Dragon Ball is all of us. Now they're playing Guilty Gear, and I think they're wanting to try Uniel now as well, because they want a fighting game that none of us have experience with.
Yeah, I picked up Uniel this year, and that was part of what was a big motivating factor for me, is that there was a friend who's been on the show, Harry, who I play fighting games with a lot, and Harry was like, let's start a fighting game that neither of us know, and let's start it together. And Uniel was great for that.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried a bit of Uniel, so it's not like I don't know it, but it's, you know, I played it for 2 weeks, like, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all gone in the ether now.
Yeah, for
all
sure.
All the knowledge.
So since you have, like, such a diverse set of, like, backgrounds and histories with fighting games, including someone who, like, barely played, like, how's it going? How's the learning going? What are the challenges and such?
So I think for Guilty Gear particularly, the biggest challenge was people understanding how to do throws, I'd say. Which, when I... like, realized that people were struggling with, I kind of started brute forcing throws and just throwing people at every single opportunity until they figured it out. And a lot of them did figure it out. Like, we went from me doing, like, 6 to 7 throws in a round to me landing, like, 2. If somebody's on tilt, then they go back to, like, a few more. But in general, now people are falling less for that and learning how to actually utilize it themselves. Which is, I guess I'd make sense that it would be a big, like, speed bump in the learning process, because the throws in Guilty Gear are essentially, you're next to a person, you press heavy slash plus forward or backward, and then you throw them, but you have to do that from a neutral state, not, like, while dashing or, like, in the middle of a combo or another move or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest struggle was that people didn't understand. I guess it's, like, maybe in Street Fighter it's different, I don't know.
I mean, in Street Fighter, it's a contextual input. Like, you hit the input, you're always going to get throw. It's not like in some situations you'll get an attack instead. I think that's the confusion.
Yeah, but I think it's also, they had a hard time understanding that, like, if you're next to a person, and that person wakes up, like, stands up from the ground, they have priority of throwing you. So they didn't understand that, oh, if you're standing next to someone that's waking up, you're going to get thrown.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that wasn't, I guess, like, I never realized that that was a weird thing, because because I started with Guilty Gear, I just always assumed, oh, that's not a thing you do.
I mean, this is my first time hearing it. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, because essentially what will happen, that's why when in Guilty Gear, when you're next to somebody, what you do is you, like, jump upwards, so that when they try to throw you on their wake up, they'll miss, and a regular move will come out, and then as you're landing back, you punish them.
Yeah, safe
but also
jump.
Then when the but then when the person expects that, they jump after you and air grab you instead, or do something else.
I see.
So it's kind of like this, like the first step is not standing next to a person to get thrown, but then after that comes the bluffing part where, you know, you might trick someone thinking that you're gonna do a safe jump, but you actually don't, you do something else.
I see.
Like, a bit confusing. People picked up the Roman cancel quite quickly. I was surprised by that. Because for me, that was always one of the more complex things in Guilty Gear, but I guess because it's so toned down in the latest one, Roman cancel being spend meter to cancel or a move on startup or during a combo.
Mm-hmm.
Or during recovery, even. So people kind of picked up on that. And I guess, like, beyond that, people really haven't had struggle. Like, it all boils down to now matchup experience and just learning how to play against the other person. Because one of them said that the thing they liked about Guilty Gear is that everybody has the same defensive options. So it's kind of like defense is universal and everybody has strong defense options, even though the game is so aggressive. So it's kind of, like, easier for them to wrap their head around, like, the basics of it. Whereas, like, with, I don't know, like, I guess with Dragon Ball, it's a bit less transparent. I mean, you have, like, good options, but defense options, like the Reflect, but it's, like, a risky move, and then you have the, like, Dragon Rush, which is, like, also a risky move, so, like, being defensive in Dragon Ball is far riskier.
Yeah, I don't think Dragon Ball rewards defensiveness very much.
No. I mean, neither does, like, Guilty Gear. Guilty Gear has an inherent penalty to, if you don't do anything, or if you backdash a lot, if you defend a lot for a very long time, it just depletes your meter, and you get decreased meter gain for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it discourages that as well, but it still has really solid defensive options. I guess now the main struggle is, like, because they switch back to Potemkin again, like, people just trying to learn how to play against the grappler, which I admit is not fun, but I was kind of sick of playing against Raven.
So, do you feel like you guys are going to keep going with Guilty Gear for a while now, or are you going to end up switching again?
I would personally really want to, like, stay with Guilty Gear, because I think, like, the longer, like, you play the... It's one of those games that, like progress is very clear. Like, it's very clear to see how better you're getting when you're playing it. And I think it's more interesting when you're playing a game and you improve enough that, like, the matches become interesting as well. I don't think, like, low-level play is that entertaining, because it usually ends up with people flailing until the timer is out.
Mm-hmm.
We will probably try Uniel, Undernight Inbirth, next week. And I am fairly confident people will buy Soul Calibur 6 to play when it comes out, even though I am, like, out of all the fighting games I've ever played, Soul Calibur is one that I'm, like, genuinely the worst at.
Huh.
So I'm not even sure what I'm going to do there.
Get better at it, I guess.
Well, I guess. I mean, before it used to be, like, Tekken and Soul Calibur were the ones I was the worst at. I was a bit worse at Soul Calibur than at Tekken. But I guess I learned Tekken enough, so I don't know. Maybe if they add a bear to Soul Calibur, it'll be fine.
Maybe. So you guys
probably won't.
Are you guys going to be playing Uniel or Unis, which is the newest version of it?
The newest version of it, the one on the PS4.
Okay. Yeah. That that came out earlier this year, and I will probably end up picking it up myself, which is, of course, Undernight Inbirth EXE Late Est, because they're very funny.
I hate that name.
I think it's hilarious.
But yeah, I played that for 2 weeks, and one of the things with French bread games that I really appreciate is they are super, super, super complex. Like, high-level play of them is ridiculous. But they are very easy to pick up. When I played Melty Blood, like, I was very intimidated by it, but I quickly learned how to be fairly competent when playing. So it's not like... They make complex anime fighter games, but I think the entry level is much lower than playing an Arc System game.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, you know, there are easier and harder Arc System games, but still, like, I haven't played any Melty Blood yet. I haven't had anyone to play with yet, though you did get me a copy for my birthday. Thank you. But Uniel has been really, really easy to get into, I think. Really, just, like, you get into it and it just feels good to play.
Yeah. My biggest problem with Uniel is that the character I end up picking is probably the worst character in the game, which somehow keeps happening to me in a lot of these games. But maybe I'll switch to a different character now when we reset.
Who are you playing?
Akatsuki.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. No, okay. A fair assessment, then.
I was going to
be like, he's not that bad, and I was like, oh, wait, Akatsuki. Yeah, no, actually.
Akatsuki is... Because he's a guest character... They kind of he literally jumped out of his other game without anything, like, being adapted to him. So you have a very close quarters short range character in a game with full screen normals.
Mm-hmm.
which it's a very uphill battle. It's fun to play him. It's just, ridiculously difficult from what I remember.
Yeah, he gets bopped pretty easily.
Yeah, but oh well. I'm kind of. We should probably talk about guest characters at some point because, like, a lot of games manage to do that well, but then some just do it like really badly.
Yeah, we'll see. It might be nice to talk about that around the time Soul Calibur 6 comes out and talk about all that. Or actually, we could do it when Crosstag Battle comes out, because I really am going to want to talk about how they adapt, like, those different casts. That seems like it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's gonna play Crosstag Battle though at the office, so I think my regular group is not too into that. I mean, one of the people, the one I mentioned that plays all sorts of fighting games, Anime Fighters included, I played Blaze Blue with them quite a lot, so like they'd be up for it, but I don't think most people would be up for it. Also, it doesn't help that I guess because we play, during lunch breaks at the middle of the office, like there's this big projector that basically shows the game so anybody walking by can see it. I'm fairly confident some of the people playing don't actually want to be seen playing something like, Blaze Blue.
That's mean.
Because, well, there are some characters, okay?
There are, but they're not really. Well, I'm trying to think if any of them are even in Crosstag Battle. Like, none of the really gross ones. I don't think they are.
I don't think.
I mean,
Yeah, they haven't actually.
it's like Mu 12, right? Like, that's one of the ones that's like,
Yeah, Mu 12, Kokonoe and Lychee are kind of there.
Yeah, I think Lychee might be in Crosstag Battle. Kokonoe is not. I'm
Yeah.
pretty sure. Well, anyway.
I mean, it doesn't also help that it's like a really loud game as well.
Indeed.
But yeah, those are probably the things we're gonna like look into. O'Neill and Soul Calibur. I don't know if anything else is coming out. Oh, I guess the SNK Heroines battle, whatever it's called, but yeah.
Yeah, I think yeah, I'm pretty worried about that game, so.
I'm very worried. I was like, oh cool, like a game with some of the like cooler characters of SNK. Oh no, they're giving them costumes.
And that seems to be the focus of the game, and it's.
Yeah. But we'll see. We will see.
Oh, well. So, actually, since we've been talking about Unreal a decent amount, I've been playing a fair bit of Unreal, as I mentioned, with our friend Harry. And I think it's the first time I've had, like, a real fighting game rivalry. And it's been a really fun experience. I haven't had anything like this. Usually, I come into a game, and either I know the game better than who I'm playing against, or they know it better than me. And it's like, games are taken on either side, but someone is clearly just the better player, right?
Yeah.
And this is my first time where it's really felt pretty even the whole time. We have played 90 matches of our primary matchup. We've played other matches as well, but 90 Gordo versus Hyde games. And like, if I had to guess, I'm probably up right now. It's probably something like 50-40, but it's pretty close. And on any given night, it's anybody's guess who's gonna be in charge. So, it's just really satisfying to get that experience of starting on that even playing field and seeing how like you adapt to each other, and then there's the adaptation to the adaptation. I don't know. Do you feel like you've had any of these rivalries where you kept playing and were genuinely on an even playing field with the other person?
Oof. That's kind of difficult. Like, there were periods when that happened in some fighting games, but like I haven't had that exact experience sadly, because when I got into Blaze Blue, I didn't have the console, so the people I was playing against, had an obvious advantage because they could practice. And then when I played Guilty Gear, it was kind of like I always had like the slight advantage just because of the like game experience. So it's I haven't had that yet. Like I guess like yeah, even when I was playing Tekken, it was like usually like either I'd get floored for a week and then I'd start winning for a week, so It was never like, oh, it's always like tense in anybody's game. It might happen when I pick secondary characters or something like that. Like for example, if I'm picking up a new character and I'm playing with somebody else who's picking up a new character, then yeah, sure. But like me at my best against somebody at their best is usually like, yeah, like you said, in the favor of one or the other.
Yeah, this is like the first time where, like, I mean, I don't have a desire to switch characters, right? Like, I mean, you've played with me, and I tend to switch characters fairly consistently. I don't like sticking with the same character for, like, five matches in a row. But, like, when Harry and I play, we'll play for, like, 2, sometimes 3 hours, and it's just, like, every match is just like, okay, go next, rematch, rematch, rematch. There's no, like, no talk about switching characters. And it's really fun. It's interesting to see sort of how, like, I'll bust out a move that, like, I haven't used in, like, a day or two, and it just sort of changes up the playing field for a bit, and then Harry adapts and starts remembering the weaknesses of that move and punishing me for that. You have rounds where, like, one of us gets the early advantage, and it's interesting to see how that affects our mental state, because for me, I kind of, like, I buckle down and get, like, really focused on trying to figure out a way through it. And Harry just kind of despairs at salvaging the situation. It's just, it's interesting to see sort of the, like, even when we're not necessarily getting better, just the way our play styles, like, change from round to round as an adaptation to each other.
Yeah, that's usually the ideal that you want, because it's the easiest for both parties to improve. I know some people who, that's also kind of like, actually, I remember, there were two people who I knew who played locally Guilty Gear for a very long time. And they had extremely even matches, like something like literally like something like 50-50, you know, like they'd sit down, play, you know, 50 games, and each one of them would win around like 25. So like, it was always really close. And that was within their dynamic. And then one person, one of them, started playing online, because that's when the online fan patch for the old Guilty Gear started working. And they just got extremely better. And then when they went back to the other person to play with them, it was just, you know, not even a contest. It was, you know, something like, you know, out of 50 matches played, 40-something in the other person's favor. So it's yeah, like, it's really good when you have a rivalry, but because it takes two people to maintain that rivalry. Like, if somebody starts playing outside of, like, that bubble, then the other person needs to do so as well. Because as soon as one person gets a high enough advantage, unless the other person aspires to, you know, close that gap again, then just, you know, deteriorate.
Yeah, I haven't really played outside of Harry and I's matches, and Harry does sometimes do, like, little combo practice sessions. And, I mean, that shows, right? There are, like, but the thing is, I feel like, because I have so much more general fighting game experience, it's like, when Harry does a practice session, Harry starts out the night strong and is winning usually, and then, like, and then from there, it's a coin flip to who's gonna end up winning the night, because then I just adapt, so.
Yeah, I can see that. No, usually my, like, playstyle in those situations is, like what I call the Jean-Claude Van Damme style, which is I need to get beaten up a lot until I come back and am ready to fight back.
Yeah, no, I hear that.
So you've been enjoying Unreal, you'd say?
Yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot. I'll definitely, if you end up picking up Unist, I'll definitely pick it up as well. We're not going to do probably a full episode on Unreal unless Unist really captures our imagination. But it's really interesting to, I like characters that are unnecessarily complicated as sort of a rule. I like Terumi and Susano and Blaze Blue. I like Seth in Street Fighter 4. I like these characters who have kind of a little bit too much going on. I like Android 21 in, Dragon Ball. And in Unreal, I like Hyde. I like the Ryu. And it's like, that's weird, but they've done such a good job of the feel of Unreal. Like, all the, just the basic moves and the impact and the flow of the fights feels so good that I want the character that just most directly allows me to get into the fight and get past, like, I feel like I have a tendency to not just want a mind game against my opponent, but also against the systems of the game, and I don't think I need that in Uniel.
Yep, sounds about right. No, it's a pretty good game. I definitely, from what I remember, I do recommend people checking it out. And I'll definitely pick up the latest version at some point.
All right, sounds good.
Well, I'd say that's all for today.
Yeah, I think so. Where can people find you on the internet, Miadrag?
So you're going to find me at twitter.com/mdknumeral2. So that's MDKII. And you can also follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/realsovietbear.
All right. And you can also join the server, the Real Soviet Bear Cord. I think on your Twitter, you should have a link to the proper bear Discord, which is like streaming talk. Yes. And fighting games and all sorts of good conversation happening on there.
Yeah, people can join that and if they want to talk fighting games or other things. And where can people find you?
I am at 626. No, I'm not anymore. That's right. Hang on. I am at 6detmar on Twitter. I changed it a little while back and sometimes I forget. SIXDETTMAR. And I'm on a bunch of podcasts, and I think right now I'll only promote, like, just the Patreon and the website. So if you go to scanlandmedia.com, you can find most of my writing and a lot of my podcasts. And the ones you can't find there, you can probably find on the Patreon, which is patreon.com/scanlandmedia. And if you want to chip in there, you help us, you know, do more writing, and you could also get access to our patron-only podcast, Oops All Anime, where we talk about anime with a guest. We should get you on sometime, Miadrag. That'd be fun.
Yeah, sure. I like my anime.
Excellent. Well, we'll have to work something out then.
Yeah. Well, see y'all and have a nice month.
Peace out.